praise God. Let's hold our hands together and say this was our Father. In the name of Jesus, we receive revelation that's found in the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus, even as he sees us in himself. As regards being a Christian, every day we receive your admonition, your rebuke, your correction to walk in the light of it, light of the written word. Every day, today, tomorrow, next year, decades upon decades, you stay astute, following and walking as believers. Amen. Glory to God. So, we're looking at being a Christian every day. Hallelujah. Being a Christian every day. Just a short exhortation. Then I'm thinking, we should take another tie to that on Sunday, which is dealing with boredom. Hallelujah. So we'll take that those concurrently. Hallelujah. So, and it's vital at this point in I need to deal with something on the recent teaching we are taking. So I want to be sure I'm done with it, right? And then we'll take it on. Hallelujah. So being a Christian every day, our dealing with simple devotion. Hallelujah. Simple devotion. Now, those of you who are workers are meeting with us yesterday, I gave us different sides to it's a series that I want to take in. I'll break it to different focus. So we're focusing on simple devotion. Then we'll take it up again to fasting, quiet time, and see how all these are very vital for the Christian world. Hallelujah. Being a Christian. You know, when it comes to devotion, many times we don't know the essence. Sometimes we grow up just saying some things happen around us. Maybe for some of us who were privileged, I want to use it like that, privileged to be born into Christian homes. Right? Christian homes. We had such a thing as morning devotion. Don't get to think about how you, sometimes our parents made it look as if morning devotion was a war. Amen. Or serious war. But somehow, that helped a whole lot of us. So you can't throw away the baby and the basin water. Amen. What's happening at the back there now? Amen. So, you can't throw away both the baby and the basin water. It was you. No matter how some of us being find it all that rosy. I remember myself, they would drag us in the morning for morning devotion. And during that those periods, You guys are talking to me now. And during those periods, during those morning devotions, they will still be sleep in my eyes or in our eyes, and then we'll have to do morning devotion. Hallelujah. So that little bit of experience. When that morning you wake up and then, I remember one time like that, the only time our eyes get open is when we're not sharing the grace. Everything we say during the prayer, during the devotion, we can't even remember. I remember one time like that, my mom was praying, nobody was answering it there. It was knock from prayer. We were praying, the anger and the knock. Sometimes, they want us to stand. That was like some of us, so that was someone like me, I learned how to stand sometimes and sleep. We just stand like this. Yeah, God. So one day we were having morning devotion, and I don't know whether my brother planned it or it happened like that,
I can't just tell. I know that I was also in the spirit
on the Lord's day. And when they say let's pray, we always come to kneel down by the bedside. We know that it's sleep continuum. Not anybody should stand up. So we stood up.
I was stood up.
And the next thing we heard, was my brother going falling like a mango tree on the bed. And then I heard the blood of Jesus. If I have heard of prayer, and at least for 1 month, we didn't stand to pray. We all didn't have to pray. Amen. But in one way or the other, that helped us.
Amen. One way or the other helped us. When I got to school, how then I knew the importance of that? Because my whole money has been dedicated to that.
Amen. So getting to school was no more. Yeah, I was already a pastor. They're pastoring people. I already know how to put God's word and how to pray. But you know, this was the first time I was living with my parents. And I was in school. Right?
So,
getting to that point, when I got to school, I discovered that I woke up, I was not waking up during prayer time. This is me that I used to see during prayer time. So, there was very that culture to wake up to pray. So then I took it off. So just wake up in the morning and then I'll just go and pray. Do you understand? So that which I thought was now more or less like custom. But meantime, we don't know the reason for devotion.
Some believers don't even know what it means to have devotions. The scripture talk about it, we're going to see it. Amen. We're going to see it. So we're looking at simple devotion. I remember one time like that, we had an argument about fasting. Fasting is Old Testament. In fact, fasting is to rest our clothes.
We didn't know anything. Hallelujah. Amen. Because also we teach it through scripture.
Amen. But these are very germane for us as believers. Hope you're following me. Amen. So we say, how we handle scriptures are very vital, or is very vital. How we approach and handle scriptures.
How we handle scriptures
is very, very vital. So we said, the attributes or the attitude of a good disciple is that of observation. He observes. Amen. That's the attitude of a good disciple. We say that. A good teacher is a good disciple, and a good disciple is a good reader and a good observer. Hope you didn't forget that. Hope you've not forgotten that. Okay. A good disciple is a good reader, and a good reader is a good observer. You observe. Hallelujah. So we said, a good disciple must see how the Old Testament scriptures were handled by the New Testament writer. You must learn to see how did they use it. How did they use the Old Testament writings or scriptures? First of all, they didn't call the Old Testament Old Testament. Clear it in your mind. The Old Testament, as we call it today, was not what they called it. It was called scriptures. In John 5:39, Jesus will say, you search the scriptures. So it's called scriptures. Okay, follow me. The 39 book is called scriptures. You search the scriptures, Jesus said. Speaking to the Pharisees, he said, and then you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me. Hallelujah. Now, the 39 books, which we call Old Testament books today, it was the only material through which they taught the oracles of God. Though that was the only material they taught about God from. They didn't teach God from any other material. Amen. It was just from the scriptures. The oracles of God were taught. In fact, in Romans 1, let me just take your attention to Romans 1. Romans 1 from verse 1. Paul will say, I Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Watch it. Unto the message of God. That's what gospel. The message of God. Right? Now what are we called the message of God? It says, which he had promised afore. Now this word, which he has promised. Promise there is a commitment, for one's commitment to do something. Right? One's commitment to do something. Now, which he has promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This is that. So, this is it, which he has promised before, right? By his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What do we have in the Holy Scriptures? The message of God. This is that. So that means that was the only material they had to teach about God. So, now verse 3 is now the summary of it. It says, concerning his son. Now that word peri, right, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he as Paul also was clear that spoke about the oracles of God from the top 9 books. They have no other book to talk about the message of God. Amen. The message of God was taught from there. It says in the prophets. I mean by his prophets in the Holy Spirit. So what not just called scriptures, was called holy, set apart. So it's called a set apart material. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 verse 15. Paul will tell Timothy, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. It's called set apart. So it's not like any other writing, it's a set apart writing. This is that? Set apart. Hallelujah. Holy Scriptures. It's called. So it's called Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. In Luke 4. Luke 4. Verses 18. This is Jesus Christ in the synagogue. But let's see what was said about Jesus. Verse 16 into 18. It said, now he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went to the synagogue on Sabbath day and stood up for to read. For to read. What was he reading? And there was delivered unto him the book of prophet Isaiah. Did you see that? This is what you can say. So what was he read in the synagogue? What was he read? The scriptures. This is that the synagogue is where they come into, where they come into to learn of God. Amen. So over time, I'm not going to go into the history of the word synagogue, but it evolved over time, right? So it's now the place where they gather. Hallelujah. So where they gather, and what do they do when they gather? Right? Where they are taught the Torah. What do? They do not read any other material that is not the scriptures. Amen. So the synagogue is where they come together, right? And they are taught about God. And the only materials they have to teach about God is the scriptures. Hold on, follow me. Amen. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord, he was reading Isaiah. Hallelujah. Hold on, follow me. Glory to God. Acts 2. Okay, follow me now. In Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verses 14, it says, but Peter, standing up for the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea and all which dwell at Jerusalem, he said, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Did you see that? So it's about to explain an experience that Jesus has spoken about in Luke 24. Right? He found it in where? Joel. Did you see that? So he goes to Joel. An experience that speaks about what God is going to do. Did you see that? Or what an experience that Joel spoke about, right? And concerning what God is doing in their world, right? And he's already doing by the resurrection of Jesus. He found it from Joel. Did you see that? So that means that was the only material that they have to explain the origin of God. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So they didn't handle the 39 books or what we call Old Testament as what was going to come to an end, or what has come to an end, or what will later go come to an or come to extinction. No. Amen. They didn't handle it as what has finished on the cross. We don't need it. No, they didn't. Rather, they handled it as materials, right, which are profitable for spiritual growth. And material, and they handled it as a material profitable for spiritual growth, and a material that they taught from, or material that is profitable for teaching. Therefore, the salvation of everything they taught was from that material. So they didn't handle it as a material that was going into extinction. No. They handled it as material that is suitable for spiritual growth. 2 Timothy 3:16. Is it from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, so which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus? And I said, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine. Doctrine there is for teaching. So that means the 39 books and Old Testament books, as we call it, is profitable for teaching. You see that? It's for teaching. Is their teaching material. You see that? Is their teaching material. It says for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Glory to God. Instruction in righteousness, where you have the word paideia. Paideia. Hallelujah. For righteousness. I mean for instruction. That is where you have the word for training. To that base, with the material they have for training, for spiritual growth, is the 39 books. It's called scripture. That is their Bible. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah. Something else you have to see, observe. I have it here as four things you should observe about how they handle the Old Testament books. They weren't writing that their material should replace it. The New Testament writers and Jesus, okay, Jesus didn't write any books, but they weren't writing that their material should replace the 39 books. Hallelujah. Rather, they wrote it, they wrote their materials, which we now have as the New Testament book, so that you can read their materials with it. You read their materials with it. Their materials, which is the epistles, should point you back to the 39 books. Hallelujah. So, they wrote their materials so that you can read it together with the 39 books, or so that you can read their materials with the 39 books. Or put, you can only have full understanding of their materials by reading it together with the 39 books. Amen. So, a full understanding of what they wrote will be when you read it together with the 39 books. Therefore, making you see that the context of their materials, please take that out, please. The context of their material is the 39 books. Amen. Amen. The context of their material is the 39 books. Glory to God. Now, that shows us our role as Bible students in observation. Our role in observation. You have to observe well. So that, see, it is carelessness. Listen to that. This is what I'm about to say. It is carelessness that will make a believer say the Old Testament is gone. The other person, whenever you hear that, is a sign of of not being a careful observer. Of not being a careful observer. You must observe it well. Hallelujah. Of not being a careful observer. So, a good student observes. A good Bible student observes. Now let's get into some details. You observe how they use the 39 books. Matthew 1:1, Matthew would open up, like I've always said to you, open up for you to see that the background of what he was writing was from the Genesis. It says, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, he used the word generations. That is where you have, that is similar words for Genesis chapter 5 verse 1. Taking your attention to the context of what he was going to write about. Writing about the incarnation of Jesus, and he wants you to read this material from the Genesis. We say that. In Mark will say, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel. Archaeomai of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's writing about the gospel of Jesus, writing about the incarnation of Jesus. He goes back again to Genesis to make you see that the Genesis is also called the gospel of Jesus. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you see that every writer of the New Testament always writes for you to see where they are writing from. You don't get detached. They don't want to be detached from what from their source. Amen. You shouldn't be detached. Rather, their materials will make you reread the 39 books. Right? Because you can't understand their material when you don't have a good understanding of the 39 books. Hope you're following that. So, let's proceed. Let's see a couple of things. Now, Being a Christian. What is the origin of the word Christian? Being a Christian. What is the origin of the word Christian? Christian. Now, that word Christian is from the Greek word Christanos. Not Cristiano Ronaldo. Christanos. Amen. Amen. Is a word used for the follower of Jesus Christ or the follower of Christ. Is from two words, Christos and Christos, which is used in reference to Jesus, the anointed, when you talk about something that is anointed, the anointed, hallelujah, refers to Jesus as a person, and use of what is anointed, when you read it from the 39 books, right? And it's from another word to Ainos. I-A-N-O-S is a word used for a community of people. Community of people. The use of that word for the etymology of that word is where you have a community or an association of people with the same ideology. An association, a community of people with the same ideology. So that word Christianos, which is where you're going to have the word Christian for, is used in reference to describe those who are followers of Christ. Amen. Followers of Christ. Christian. Followers of Christ. Now, they were first called Christians at Antioch. Acts of Apostles chapter 11. Follow me now. The report called Christians at Antioch, Acts 11, verses 26. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. Now, let's start, Snatch, you understand a couple of things. Verses 22, it says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem. Now, if you read from verse 19, let me give you a background. From chapter 11,
Peter was in the council, was defending Acts 10 experience. Then in verse 19, they now spoke about those who were scattered abroad after what happened to Stephen. Right? The Bible spoke about believers that were scattered abroad. So some of them went to Antioch. Do you get me? We had people in Antioch, in Cyprus, Antioch, and they were preaching the word. Hallelujah. So now verse 22. See, 9, the tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which were in Jerusalem, and they sent for Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Antioch was in Asia. As far as Antioch. Did you see that? Now, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exalted them all, that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. So, he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. Did you see that? To do what? Seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Did you see that? So they taught much people. Was discipleship going on there?
Yes.
In fact, you discover that if you get to chapter 14, Paul told Barnabas, let's go to Antioch to visit the brethren. Did you see that? Amen. So you will discover that they had disciples there in Antioch. What are you following me? So watch this. They assemble people. Where were we? Where are we? The Pharisees. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. That was where Agabus now came. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So, very vital. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Amen. Amen. Now, with little of history, a lot of people have said, and which is not perfect, that they were called Christians as mockery in Antioch. Right? They were called Christians as mockery. So, some people, where I was part of this set of people, say, why should we answer a name of mockery? Right? Amen. Why should we answer a name of mockery? They are called Christians. The word Christian was a word of mockery. Was that not it? Yeah? Yeah. It was actually, they were not called Christians by the Lord. They were called Christians by unbelievers. And it was a name for mockery. So they said, no, we're not Christians. We are Christ. A parabole. Don't worry. We are Christ. Calm down.
Amen. Don't rush. But are you not Christian?
Let's have a look. No, I don't believe I cannot name the believer. Amen. How about an argument that doesn't hold water? Just a crazy argument. Amen. We are Christ. No, you are not Christ. Jesus is Christ. Amen. He is the Messiah. Glory to God. In John 4, verse 25, 29, 29. Let's see John 4. Glory to God. So, let's go to chapter 1, verse 41 first. Put your hand in chapter 4, verse 25. It says, and some of the 20, verse 40, one of the two which heard him spoke and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He said, the first founded his own brother Simon and said unto him, who found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Amen. So, well, I'm not referring to Jesus as the Christ. Chapter 4, verse 25. This is Jesus and the woman by the well. 25. Look at what she says. Then the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Do you see that? Amen. And Jesus said, I am he. He speak unto you. 29. And the woman ran to see the people, went to Samaria, and said, come and see a man which told me all things, whatever I did.
Is this not the Christ? Did you see that?
So Jesus is called the Christos.
In Matthew 16, Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christos. Did you see that? You are the Christ. Don't be following me. You are the Christ. So, you just like say, I see, so are we.
So, we are not Christians, we are Jesus. Come on, let's knock your head.
Because that is how you begin to run into extremism.
Hallelujah. Begin to run into extremism. We are Jesus. As he is, so are we.
Yeah.
We are the Savior.
It's much more. You know, people don't get mad and then enter market the same day. It's much more you are gravitating to the market.
I am the Christ. Like a young lady was singing one time. She said, I know that one, she has choke in her head. I am the Lord who never fails. I am the Lord.
I am the Lord who never fails. I will never fail
forevermore. Amen. I will never fail.
Is this Christocentric or Christo-electric?
Let's understand.
I am the Lord. How are you the Lord? Please. Amen. We are the Lord. Like that. Then we are heirs. We are joint heirs. Dixie will now say. It's not 50-50. 100-100.
Amen. I used to say that.
And it's not a lie. We will have equal rights.
That's what we are joint heirs. That was joint heirs there.
It's not joint heirs like 50-50. No. We are joint heirs.
Amen. Now, the joint heirs means what he has. Right? Which is the spirit. That's where the heirs is from. Heirs is talking about the inheritance is the spirit.
But, we are joint heirs. Now imagine this is saying, we are joint heirs. If it comes to percentage,
Bible is not called percentage.
And when it comes to percentage, it's not 50-50, not joint heirs at 50-50. No. It's not equal as this. No, if Jesus has 100%, I have 100%.
And at that time, the disciple now pick it and now run further.
Now say,
that means if God now dies.
You see, if God now dies, they're not looking for who will replace God. We are equal as Jesus. Did you see the rubbish you said?
Someone said that. Not in our world.
But that's funny. But that's where it's leading to. Glory to God. Equal. Say yes, sir. Hi, dog. He's homologia.
You are charging yourself. Why are you homologia?
Same percentage.
Percentage of what?
Say the hair.
Hair of what? You are thinking money.
the reason of the Gentiles are power for the righteous. We are getting there. You are getting there. It's small. You enter market. Amen. You now be full blown madness. Glory to God.
No.
You are not the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. You are joint heirs. That means if he's the head, I'm the head. That's why the Bible says we are the head and not the tail.
You see the way you marry scripture? You just scriptural. How do
Dr. Damila? You've done scriptural adultery. You just carry here and go and join here and go and join it together. God bless your soul. But that's not what it's talking about. Jesus is God the Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, would this be the first time? Now, remember, some other people gave them the name. But God has done something. Right? Right? That means they saw something in the disciples. In fact, in Acts of Apostles chapter 5, Bible says, one of the things they spoke about the disciples, which is Peter,
and John, right, was the fact that they were unlettered, right? Unlettered. But they took note that they've been with Jesus. This is that. That means their attitude, the way they spoke, the miracle signs and watching, their attitude, the way they spoke, the miracle signs and wonders that they did was similar. They could see that semblance of Jesus in their conduct. They said they took note that they've been with Jesus. Do you see that? Now that there was something common amongst them. Right? So can we say they took note that these people are followers of Jesus, right? Is that it? Is that it? But they're not called Christian in Acts 5. But they took note of the same thing that those in Antioch took note of. A community of people with the same ideology. Did you see that? Now let's see something else. Was it the first time God would do something and man would give it a name? And God would have no other option than to accept the name? No, not the first time. Hallelujah. Not the first time. Glory to God. In Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 15, quickly. Watch Exodus 15. I want to show you something quickly. Exodus 15, verses 3 into 4. Exodus 15. 3 into 4. It said, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we all died in the hands of the Lord, in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, and yea, have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill us, I mean to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go and gather a certain rate every day, that I may approve them, whether they would walk in my law or no. Verses 14. Let's get to 14 quickly. Well, I started from 11, but let's get to 11, sorry. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know I am the Lord your God. 14. Watch to 14. And when the dew was laid, when the dew that lay was gone off, behold, upon the face of the wilderness they lay a small round thing. Watch it? A small round thing, as small as the hoar frost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. Amen. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord had given to you to eat. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, and they said, this is manna. Now, actually what they said is, they called it, in the Hebrew words, what is this? The word manna means, what is this? We're going to see the explanation of that word again. What is this? Manna is not like a kind of loaf. They did say, this is bread. Because bread has a name. Moses told them, this is the bread that the Lord said he will give to you. But they saw it and said, what is this? That is not the word manna. So they gave it a name. What is this? Now, see something else. Look at verses 31. Verse 31. It says, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like corridor seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafer made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generation, that they will see the bread wherewith I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. That's a tree. That's a tree. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna. Moses corrected them in verses 16, right? Verses 15, and said it is bread. Right? Now in verse 33, Moses is now calling it the same name they called it, manna. Did you see that? Man of God. Man of God is now calling it the same name, manna. Did you see? Amen. Why?
Man, God will always accommodate man's language.
He will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, Moses called it manna. Manna said, no, it's not manna, keep short.
No.
He just went ahead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 8 verse 3. It says, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. This is that, neither did thy father know, that he might make thee known that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. This is that. So Moses called it manna. In verse 16, he called it manna again. In Nehemiah 9 verse 20, it's called manna. Do you see that? What is this? It's not a household name. Hallelujah. Psalms 78 verse 24, manna, the psalmist. Even Jesus, God, called it manna. In John 6:39, Jesus said, your father ate manna in the wilderness. Where are they? You see that? Hallelujah. Where are they?
John 6:39, John 6:49, John 6:58.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So he said, your father ate manna in the wilderness. He did not say, I'm the manna that came for you. He said, I'm the bread. Which is evil. How about that for something sound? Evil. Glory to God. John 6. Hey, John 6. Amen. Verse 58, he said, and this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Did you see that? Amen. Yes. Amen. Glory to God. So, God will walk with what is available to man. Every man calls it, you accept it and walk. Amen. Glory to God. So, God will also adopt the name Christian. God will have to do that.
Amen.
Moreover, since the name Christians also speaks of followers of people with the same ideology as Jesus. Did you see that? People with the same ideology of Jesus. The same ideology, the same purpose, the followers of him. You could see it in their attitude, in their talk, in how they conduct and behave themselves. So they are Christians. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they saw the semblance of Christ's message in them. They saw the semblance of Christ's message in them. So that's why they call them Christians. Hallelujah. In fact, in Acts 26, let's see Paul. Acts 26. Paul was before Agrippa. Acts 26 quickly. Verses 28. Paul was before Agrippa. And when he was done talking to Agrippa, look at Agrippa's response in verse 28. He says, and Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. You know, the gospel is a gospel of persuasion.
Hallelujah.
The gospel of persuasion. Will persuade men with God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The gospel is persuasive. Glory to God. Persuasive. So, quickly, let's see this. So he said, that persuades me. He said, almost that persuades me to be a Christian. He said, almost. And Paul said, no. I don't want you to be a Christian. I want you to be Christ. Was that what Paul said? No.
no, I want you to be in Christ, not Christian. No. Look at what Paul said. Paul said, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am. Did you see that? Except this God. Be like me. So Paul didn't deny the name. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Paul didn't deny the name. He said, No. He's just people in hands. No. He didn't do that. Hallelujah. In fact, Peter, hallelujah. So Paul wanted Agrippa to be saved, right? And also become a Christian. First Peter 4. Let's see Peter. Hope you're following me. First Peter 4:15. It says, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matter. They don't suffer as these things. You see that? Don't suffer as a murderer. Don't suffer as an evildoer. He's telling you don't be this. You see that? But look at verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Did you see that?
Amen. Say don't be ashamed. As a Christian. Say, hey, don't be a murderer. Don't suffer as a murderer. This is that. Don't suffer as it is. He's telling you there's just a conduct that are not befitting. Don't be this. But they are to persecute you for being a Christian. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. Praise God.
So did you see Christian is a name that they adopted, right? So forget how the name started. We've adopted it now. This is who we are. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that word means to be followers of Christ, Christians, community of people of Christ, community of people, Christ. So with the Christos there, the community of people, the Christos there, community of people that belong to Christ. Did you see that?
Amen.
With the same ideology, Christos Anos. Hallelujah. Amen. Followers of Christ. So let's see how Paul uses that name, follower, because a Christian is a follower. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, follow me to 1 Corinthians 11, Paul now. 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, be a follower of me even as I am of Christ. Isn't that? They follow me because be a follower of me as I am of Christ. So that means, he is a follower of Christ. You see that? Follow me. So he's saying, be a follower of me as of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see that? Follower. That's the word mimetes. Mimetes. In before now, in chapter 4 verse 16, he has said it to them. He says, wherefore I beseech you, be a follower of me. Be a follower of me. He's talking to people who are born again. And he tells them, be a follower of me. That is, he wants them to be, we'll get in there. Followers of me. We'll get in there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians 5:1. Let me not jump the gun. Let's see it together. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Glory to God. Ephesians 5:1. It says, be a follower of God as their children. Followers. You see that? Followers. Maybe see it there. Amen. Philippians 3 verse 17. He changes the verbiage. He uses some mimetes. Follow us together.
Philippians 3:17. It says, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us as examples. Is that so? It's a word you find in discipleship. Followers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you also find it in 1 Thessalonians 2:14. Let's get to Hebrews chapter 6 quickly. Hebrews 6:12. Hear this. It says, what is it? It says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So it says followers. So that means the word mimesis is an attribute of a disciple. The word followers is an attribute of a disciple. A disciple is a follower. Amen. A follower. So that's what Jesus instructed. Let's see what Jesus instructed about discipleship. Now watch. Now we said a disciple is a follower, right? Following is an attribute of discipleship. Now, listen. Being a Christian happens when you get born again, right? But take note, they were called Christian because of what they saw. So that means they are attributes of Christian that our life of being a follower of Jesus and our life must reflect. Hallelujah. Amen. But what if we are not reflecting it? Does that make us non-Christians? No. We are Christians by birth. Hallelujah. Christian means we have become like Jesus. Did you see that? How? By walking or by nature? By nature first. Hope you're following me. So by nature we are born again. Hallelujah. But our life and our conduct should now reflect what has happened to us. We're going to see all that. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Let's get into some things, some very vital details. Now, we said disciples. So an attribute of a disciple is that of following. Right? Right? So let's see what Jesus spoke about following. Matthew 28, verses 26. He says, on top of verse 18, he says, power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Go therefore and teach all nations. But that's the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now let's stop there. He says, teach all nations. That's when you have the word matitio. Matitio is used for how one is enrolled and the process of learning in a particular discipline. It deals with how one is enrolled into a citadel of learning, and it also deals with the process of learning. So it's not just how he's enrolled, but that process of learning. That process where he now learns that discipline. It's called discipleship. Hallelujah. Amen. It's called discipleship. Now watch. Modern translators of that word Matthew in Matthew chapter 28:19 did use teach just like the old King James would use the word teach all nations. And the reason why they won't use the word teach, right, is just because they discovered that the use of that word matitio, right, is a process. Matitio is a process. So that's why recent translators will use the word to make. Is what you make. Make disciples. Isn't that? Hallelujah. So it's a process. I want you to follow that there. It's a process. Glory to God.
Amen. Now that process, that is a process, like I said. Now, that process involves to be born again. The entrance into that process is forced to be born again. So being born again is an instant. It's instant. But the discipleship is a process. Okay, following this. Amen. So discipleship, the entrance into it is to be born again. So that is an instant. This is an actual instant. Right? Right? But being born again doesn't... Okay, I don't want to rush there. Let's take those two first. Being born again happened instantly. But discipleship is a process. Hallelujah. So that means you can have someone born again, have someone saved, and the person is not discipled.
That is better said. Someone can be born again and is not being discipled. So discipleship is what you are given to. Okay, follow me. Now Jesus said, you make disciples. So the entrance to me is what? To be saved. Right? Right? Now he said, that was what Matthew said that he didn't say. It's what he said that he didn't say. Glory to God.
Amen. Are you following me down? Are you following me down? Glory to God. Now, make disciples. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I just did something now. Okay. Okay, listen to this. But I now said it, but let's hear this. Yeah, how I have it in my notes. Recent translators use the word to make because it involves a process of being schooled and an ongoing, never-ending process. I mean, it's an ongoing, never-ending process. So the man who is undergoing this process is called mathetes, an apprentice. That is the noun of it. Hope you understand that.
Hope you understand what I've said now. Amen. Hope you understand what I just said. To be saved happened in an instant. Right? Discipleship is a process. So can we have people who are saved and we're not given to discipleship yet? Jesus, amen. For what is God's plan? All men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus, all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth is discipleship. Hope you're following that. Amen. I saw something somewhere. So someone was talking about that scripture. He said, the all men saved, that when you are saved, you automatically come to the knowledge of the truth. That is somebody who is using the use of the word carry. Okay. Amen. You have to be saved. Right? He's telling you that two different things. Hallelujah. To be saved and then come. That is discipleship. You are not being trained. Hallelujah. So that's what God wants. For us to be saved and then be trained. But there are people who are saved and we're not giving the training yet. Hallelujah. Come here for you, amen.
Glory to God. So that those who are trained and they don't go to church, they don't do online church. They are not given to train. But discipleship must happen in a local gathering. Okay, following me. Amen. Okay, let's see this. Now let's see who can be a disciple. Who can be discipled? Who can be discipled? Someone said, no, I'm too big to be a disciple. I've heard that days back. I'm too big. I've passed the stage of discipleship. I'm not in big church. Discipleship is for small, young people like Wisdom, Lenji. They are the ones that should be doing discipleship. We are elders.
Amen. Then after 6 weeks, you now wear robe.
Why are you graduating from? I'm now graduating from a disciple. So where? So where? So no, we are not elders in the spirit. Sure. Who can be disciples? Matthew 13:52. We saw the scribes. Because of time, I'm going to rush through that. The scribes. Every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom. And that's the word there, to instruct. And who is a scribe? A scribe is an astute scholar. So to be instructed there will be to reschool. That is the word in Matthew 2. To reschool, to be reschooled. Hallelujah. So, for that one to be Christ's disciples, he will have to be reschooled. You see that? Amen. Hallelujah. Reschooled in what sense? He has to be reschooled in the Lord. You see that? In the Lord. In the scriptures. So that means, a man can have 10 PhDs, but once you're born again, you have 10 or 20 or 100 PhDs, 1 million PhDs, I don't care. Amen. But once you're born again, right, you now have to be reschooled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Once you are saved, you have to be reschooled. Matthew 27:57. We have Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible says here, 57, it says, when he was called, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, also himself was Jesus' disciple. You see that? Jesus' disciple. A rich man. So that means a rich man, right, had to be reschooled. That means who can we have as a disciple? Discipleship is not restricted to anybody. This is that we've seen a scholar, right? We've seen a rich man. In Acts 14:21, we saw many. Acts 14:21, many people. Many will include everyone from different walks of life. Amen. So who can be reschooled? Everyone who is saved. They have no age without an age bracket, without a status bracket, amen, without riches bracket. So that means the unifier we have, irrespective of different status, different age, different grace, different walks of life, is in Christ. Hallelujah. So in Christ, God has found unity amongst men. Who are following me? In Christ, God has found unity amongst men. So it now becomes very funny. You know, that's how you find it. You find Paul will say there's neither Jew nor Greek. Do you see that? Bond or free. Why? It's because what God has done, in Christ is that he has united all men in Christ. All men saved. So where has God found unity in the world? In Christ. Okay, follow me. So it doesn't now. Now imagine God has found unity in Christ. Leave all those equality people are trying to do, say that. You can achieve it in the world, but you have achieved, God has achieved it in Christ, right? Now, when you now, imagine you now know this, God has achieved it in Christ, and you now get to church, and you now have
men are sitting here, women are sitting here, youth are staying here, choir is here, boy brigade is here, girl brigade is here. He says, inside church, there's now that partition. Rich people sit in front, those who are not rich at the back. This is why Paul, James will now say, what rubbish is that? This is that, like that, the one that is have this clothes, keep them fine chairs. What are following me? No, that's not what God has done. What God has done is that we are united all in Christ, irrespective of who we are in our society. You see that? God has found unity in the body of Christ. So we shouldn't now create divisions within the local church. Are you understanding that? Are you understanding that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's begin to close on some things. So we said that word discipleship involves a process, right? Right? An act of being educated. Was that what we said? Okay. Now that word is from another word, mantano. Let's quickly rush through mantano. Mantano. Mantano deals with the act of learning itself. Mantano. That word matitio is from another word, mantano. Mantano deals with that act of learning itself. To learn. Hallelujah. In Matthew 9, verse 13. Matthew 9, verse 13. Matthew 9, 13. Yet it says, but go ye and learn what meaneth I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but the sinners to repentance. Hallelujah. And this was when the Pharisees were telling in verse 11, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eateth your masters with publicans and sinners? And he said, go and learn. Do you see that? Amen. Mantano. Go and learn. That's the act of learning, matan. In Matthew 11 to 29, I guess I have to be fast because we need to cover this up before last week. Matthew 11, verse 29. It says, take off my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my body is light. Now when you find this statement used, it's used for discipleship. It says, take my yoke upon you. And what does he call his yoke? He says, and learn of me. You see that? Learn of me. For me can learn. Learn is a word for discipleship. Amen. Matthew 24 verse 32. You find Jesus talking, that is the story or the parable of the fig tree. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 verse 32. In the story of the that's to say, now learn the parable of the fig tree, right? When its branch is tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So he said, learn. That's the word to learn. You also find that word in John 6:45. John 6:45. Then look at John 7. Look at John 7:15. John 7:15. Now, speaking about Jesus, he said, and the Jews marvel, say, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And when I talk about never learned there, they've not found him in any discipleship school. You see that? Amen. Having never learned, and they're referring to disciples. What people in? Amen. Have you not seen him? Do you get me? Amen. Glory to God. How am I following that? Like Paul said, I learned at the feet of Gamaliel. So we did not see who is your master. Amen.
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 Okay. Now, Romans 16. So the word mantano is used for discipleship. Romans 16 verse 17. Now, you will find that word disciples mainly in the epistles. You won't find it much in the epistles. In fact, you won't find it in the epistles. They didn't use it in the epistles for a reason. Because you have mantano to show you is the process. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you are with me. Amen. So you have more of the word mantano than the word disciple. Look at Romans 16, verse 17. Now watch this. He is writing to believers. Right? 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 Come on, are you here? Is he writing to believers or unbelievers? Believers. Look at verse 17. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Did you see that? Amen. Which ye have learned. Now he's not talking about which ye have learned. So doctrine which you have learned over time, right? Is that it? Learned when you are saved, right? Okay. 1 Corinthians 4 says. 1 Corinthians 4 says. It says, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred myself and Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." You learn something you must see, right? That is writing to disciples, and he told them to learn of him and Paul and Apollos. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Learn of them. Learn of us. Ephesians 4:20. I need your close attention here. Ephesians 4:20. You are there, I believe. It says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." And he wasn't talking about the new birth. How do we know? Look up on verse 17. Get to 17. Are you there? "So this I say therefore, and testify in the law, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Did you see that? "In the vanity of their mind." Now he's talking about a walk. And he's writing to believers. Say, don't walk as other Gentiles walk. Did you see that? "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." So he's describing the unbelievers. You see that? "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness." So he said, don't walk like them. Right? They are not saved. You are saved. You are in the light. That's what he's trying to tell them. So that means you don't have the same, you don't have to walk like them. They are in darkness. Hallelujah. So he's dealing with the walk with believers. Then he now said in verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Did you see that? Amen. That means to say, this is not how you've been discipled. Is that it? This is not what you have been taught. Is that it? Is that it? 21. He says, "If so be that ye have heard him." Did you see that? "And have been taught by him." Did you see that? Is that discipleship? "And have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Is this in discipleship? Is this conduct? Is this conduct? Is this salvation? No. Do you see that? Is this conduct? Is this conduct? Is this salvation? No. When I mean salvation, is it new birth? No. Okay. 23. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." New birth. Walk. Okay, some people are waiting for the pastors to say yes before they say yes. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. New birth? No. This is work. Ye put on the new man. Now that word put on there is the word enduo. Enduo is used for an activity you do to take off what you have within your palm. You see that? So he's telling them this work you're going to put on, or you're going to work, is from within. So that means, that's why I told you that in our study on Colossae, I said to us, I said the believer's conduct is different from morals. What I mean morals is, just like when it comes to morals, morals will tell you do this, do that, do that. But we are taught conduct from our nature. You see that? Amen. So I walk righteously because it is my nature. It's not abstract to me. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following that. It's in my nature to walk righteous. It's in my nature to love. It's in my nature to it's in my nature not to do evil. Do you see that? Amen. Glory to God. So I'm not trying to think of it. It's my nature. Glory to God. So put it like this. Okay, put it like this. Morals for the believer is not thought abstract. It's thought rather conduct in as a believer is thought from our nature. This is who we are. So we discover who we are, then we live that way. So Paul puts it here. He says you put on. You put on what? Put on what is available to you. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Verse 25. And say putting away lying. You know that speaking every man's truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. You see that? So what he's doing is explaining, if you go to verse 26, he say, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Let that give place to the devil. You see that? So he's further explaining or expounding what he said in verse 20 when he said you have not so learned Christ. He's further expanding it for you to see that he's dealing with conduct. Do you see that? So you have not so learned Christ is not new birth, it's conduct. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Okay. So, I have in my notes. It wasn't discussing new birth, but our walk in it. I like the way it is in my notes. It wasn't discussing new birth, but our walk in it. And this is shaped in us via discipleship. Hallelujah. What are you following that? Amen. Philippians 4, 9. You find it again, Philippians 4, 9. It says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and see in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Did you see that? Learn. And it's writing to believers. It's a process. Look at verse 11. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, whether with to be content. Did you see that? So, mantano is a process. Discipleship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy, quickly, chapter 3, verse 7, it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he described who he is referring to from verses 2 to verse 5. Yes, he said, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, trust breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those things which are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, say from such turn away. For these thoughts which creep into houses and led captive silly women, led in with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, you know what they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? It means that they resist knowledge. Amen. Amen. They resist knowledge. Or, before they resist what they learn. Hallelujah. verse 14. Go down to verse 14. This is disciples. It says, but continue thou in the thing which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing whom thou hast learned them from. So, continue. Now that is the watchword there. If that's the process, you keep learning. It says, continue is what you keep learning. Timothy, being a pastor, was told to keep learning the same thing. Did you see that? So you keep learning. Hebrews 5. Oh, well, I'm almost standing up. Hebrews 5. No, well, I'll take Hebrews 5 next week. I'll take Hebrews 5 next week. Just mark it down. Hebrews 5 verse 8. Therefore, discipleship is a process. It's a process we ought to be given to. It's a process we ought to be given to. We ought to be given to discipleship. In discipleship, we are trained to become Christ-like. Christ-like. We are trained to become to be Christ-like. We are instructed to walk in that which is now ours by reason of salvation. We are trained. Hallelujah. We are trained. Hallelujah. And the life of a Christian, the life of a disciple, is a life of devotion. We're going to get into devotion next week. It's a life of devotion. It's a devoted life. Hallelujah. The life of a Christian is a life of devotion. So we'll see, to be a Christian is to be a follower. To be a Christian, to be a disciple, to be given to discipleship, is you've made up your mind to follow. To follow him through and through. Hallelujah. Follow him through men. His men follow him through his word. Taught to you by men. Hallelujah. Follow him. And then, one of the things we'll learn is that life, that lifestyle of a devotion. I trust the Lord that at the end of these exhortations, short exhortation in the coming weeks, we'll be more devoted to, I put it like this in my outline, devoted to simple details, basic details. I was speaking to leaders yesterday and I said, see, spiritual growth is not a voluminous of things. Spiritual growth is details. To basics. Basics. And that is why I said, alongside this teaching we'll have dealing with boredom, because one of the things people end up facing in that life of devotion will be now be getting bored. We'll have to deal with it. Hope you are hearing me. We'll have to deal with it. Hallelujah. Amen. Have to deal with it. Some people will laugh at you and say you are living a triangular life. But that is the life of a believer. Amen. Someone told me, smart, easing up now. That was in school. They said, easing up. They say, you know, attend bonfire. So go ahead and attend bonfire. I said, till I die, I'm going to attend it. What did you do? Today, you don't attend bonfire, I'm going to attend the bonfire. They say, pastor, you don't attend bonfire. What am I attending it for? So now I'm burning fire or tire or whatever you are, the amazing. People will not be dancing around. That's what I came to school to do. Amen. Glory to God. We did something, they stopped bonfire. They said there's no longer bonfire in the school. They went to carry bamboo sticks. So they're going around it. Was you shy yourself? They are going for excursion. I said, I'm not going for excursion. I didn't do all those rubbish. They are going for dinner party. Dinner party. To go and do what? No, it's our association dinner. I didn't go. When I went was in my final year, but it was for Christian dinner. And as soon as they were done, before they say the grace, I'm in my room sleeping. I shall went there to make sure dinner is served well. That's always dinner. Dinner is served well. That's what I do.
I didn't come to school for pleasure. I didn't come to school for pleasure. Seriously. I didn't come to school for pleasure. If I go to stay in school, I'll just play ball once. I'll just play again. When I'm not playing, when I'm there, I won't come to school for my pleasure. Seriously. I didn't come to school for pleasure, but this is a mistake. And I didn't go again. When I come and take for us, our class is playing. You people should not play at all. I didn't play again. Glory to God.
Just be focused. Glory to God. See, you are just living a triangular life. Hostel, school, church. 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 Guy, I'm not tired. You are the one tired. Amen?
Glory to God. You just have to learn to deal. Glory to God. Some people want to live a complex life. Live it for Jesus. Hallelujah.
So explore that. Explore that and then we'll look at being a Christian every day. Reflecting Christ's life in our daily lives. We trust the Lord that our eyes will open much more as we study together in this series. Amen. Amen. Let's go on our feet. Let's thank the Lord.